Just last year, in our church in Newton Ards, we lost a dear brother. He was there in 1977 when I first came to the Lord and came to the church in Newton Ards. A brother who had been a deacon in our church, a man who was faithful in prayer and faithful at all the services in the Lord's house. But for 2 or 3 years before this brother died, he suffered from dementia and Alzheimer's to the extent that he didn't know his own wife, he didn't know his sons and daughter or his grandchildren. I remember we started to pick up just little things that all was not well with our brother Ed, because he would have got up to lift the collection and forgot what way to go. And sometimes he would pray in the public prayer meetings and he would get mixed up in his words. And then he was called home. And what a release it must have been for him to experience that release from that body and all that had happened as regards this awful illness in his brain. But it got me thinking. And I remember coming home after the funeral and a few days after, getting my Bible and asking some questions about a Christian, a believer, who has this illness. Maybe there's some here this morning and you have family members and they're passing through this. And especially, you know, when it's a dear Christian, someone that was bright for the Lord. And there maybe they are and they don't even know their family, they don't even know their friends, and in some cases they don't even know their own name or anybody else's name. This is the experience of some of God's people. When I was delivering the mail in the village of Porto Voghe years ago, I remember I would end the run at a dear couple's house in Lawson Gardens, Porto Voghe, Davy and Annie McVeigh. Davy went to the Brethren and Annie went to the Free Presbyterian Church. So there you go. But Davy was a great soul. And I remember one Christmas getting him, they used to give me platefuls of buns and cakes. It was desperate. And especially in the winter, you would go in there, sit down, get all lovely warmed up. You didn't want to go out again and finish any work you had to do. But I remember getting him a big Bible, big print Bible. And then Davy took Alzheimer's. He ended up in a home in Bangor. I remember going over to see him one day and the Bible was sitting. And he said, "You know who gave me that Bible?" I says, "Who?" He says, "The wee postman." I says, "Davy, I'm the wee postman that gave you that Bible. Are you?" He didn't know. And so, brothers and sisters, and men and women, we're all here this morning, and we know this is a problem. This is something that can come into a Christian's life, can come into a family. It can be very trying and troublesome. It can even make you wonder and think. And as I went to my Bible, I started to look at some scripture. And I want to look at verse 38 and 39 of Romans chapter 8. And this is where we'll start, and you know this is where we'll finish as well, because it's a tremendous scripture. Now, we read this morning a portion about getting old, and we're going to speak about something that that afflicts a lot of elderly folk, although, mind you, it can come to people who are not so old. But if you're in the meeting and you're a relatively young person, don't turn off, because, you know, we need to store up truth in our hearts and minds. The Bible says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. In other words, we prepare ourselves for what may lie ahead in the will of the Lord. But if you look at chapter 8 of Romans, verses 38 and 39, the Apostle Paul at the end of this great chapter, tremendous, he says, for I am persuaded. And we can pause and ask Paul, why are you so persuaded, Paul? I'm sure he would answer, for he already has, because of everything he has said up until this verse 38. All that he has said down through this chapter. And then he says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we can say this as we look at this subject this morning. We can say this absolutely. We can be as fully persuaded as the apostle that Alzheimer's, dementia, or any other sickness or any other disease that could afflict the mind or the body of a Christian cannot, will not separate them from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm always glad when I read those verses of that little, those two words in verse 38, nor life. You know, he says, for I am persuaded that neither death. We think of death sometimes, and we all have a natural abhorrence of death. The very fact of death and what death means and all of that. But then he says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life. In other words, no matter what can come our way in life, no matter what life may throw at us as people speak, no matter what may come our way in life, we can be persuaded that nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, I'm no medical man. My knowledge of medicine is really that I can take a paracetamol for a sore head and that's it. But I took the dictionary and I looked up the word mind. Collins English Dictionary. And it says there that the mind is the intellectual faculty, the understanding, memory, opinion, inclination, purpose, or it can be a person regarded as an intellectual influence. And sometimes we say, that boy has a great mind. You think of those words, intellect, consciousness, spirit, disposition. That's your mind, according to the dictionary. I looked up the word brain. And it says in the dictionary, the same dictionary, that your brain is the whitey soft mass in the skull in which are the nerve centers, mental capacity, intelligence. Did you notice the difference? See, brothers and sisters, men and women, this disease that can afflict the brain and is a very real thing. This disease that can bring a person into a state where they seem to go into themselves and are no longer recognizing people and things around them. I remember hearing the story, it'll make you laugh, but it was a true story about a wee woman, and she must have been from Ulster, but they were asking her questions just to ascertain how far this disease had gone. And they were asking her, do you know what year you were born? No, I don't remember that. Do you know what year you were married? No, don't remember that. No, I don't remember that. Do you remember what year your first child was born? And this wee woman's husband was standing beside the doctor, and he was getting a wee bit frustrated. And he said, Annie, do you remember what happened in 1690? Oh, yes, I remember that King Billy won the Battle of the Boyne. That's a true story. She remembered that. You see, the point I'm making about looking at the dictionary, you see, even the dictionary acknowledges that the mind and the brain are not the same thing. Now, obviously, there's a relationship between them. You see, I believe, and I don't have any knowledge of medicine or the human body very much at all, but I have my Bible. And I believe the mind belongs to your soul and spirit. Your brain belongs to your body. I believe we communicate, as it were, with the world around us through the brain and the senses. We communicate with God through our spirit and soul and mind. And why am I saying that? Because never think for one moment that because of this disease, or if some loved one has it, an old mum or dad or whatever has this, do not think for one moment, do not think for one second that God's not still communing with them and they with God. You know, a child in the womb. Do you remember when Mary went to visit Elizabeth? How the child leapt. How it says of John the Baptist, he was full of the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. And from even then to death, if we're the Lord's, we are the Lord's eternally. Paul says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah for those words, and hallelujah for that truth. Sometimes people will say, and this thing about knowing your name or not knowing your name, and some people can get very discouraged about that, and they go to visit a dear loved one and they'll say to friends and neighbours, I don't even know my name now. And I don't think they even know their own name. Well, the Lord has anticipated that. Look at Isaiah 43 verse 1. Isaiah 43 verse 1. We believe, don't we, in the sufficiency of Scripture, and therefore there's nothing now or in this modern age or future age that God hasn't anticipated in His Word or has something to say about it. That's the wonderful thing about the Bible. It's up to date, it's fresh, it's relevant. And the creators that don't see that, we need to pity them. But you look at Isaiah 43 and verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. The wonderful thing is this, if I get to the stage, if I ever reach the condition where I don't know who I am, where I don't know my own name, or I don't know the names of other people, bless the Lord knows my name. Bless the Lord, He knows my name. Look at Luke chapter 10. Luke's Gospel chapter 10. And the verse is number 20. The 70 have gone out to preach, and they have seen wonderful things happen by the power given to them of the Lord. And they come back, and they're rejoicing. Even the devils, even the demons, are subject unto us through thy name. And look what the Lord Jesus said in verse 20. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Your name is written in heaven. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord, if that day ever comes, we don't know, where I don't know who I am, the Lord knows. The Lord knows who I am. The Lord knows my name. My name is written in heaven. And then look at a verse in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. You know, it says in that hymn we were singing, A Debtor to Mercy Alone, in verse 5, My name from the palms of his hands, eternity will not erase, impressed on his heart it remains, in marks of indelible grace. He knows my name. He knows your name, Christian. You might forget it. Others might forget it, but he knows it. And if you look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3, And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. So praise God, and we could go on, but the testimony of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation is this, that God knows our name. This is a very special and wonderful thing, that our names are written down where it counts. That our name is written down in the book of life, our name is written down in heaven. God knows our name. Hold on to that. If you have a dear relative or friend and they've been a Christian many years and now they're there, maybe you go to visit them and there's very little recognition. Well, be encouraged. God knows them. God knows their name. And whatever they're passing through will not be able to separate them from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you know in the Bible sometimes it talks about the spirit of your mind? Let's look for a moment at what the Bible says about our mind. And remember the point I made from the dictionary, your brain is one thing. Do you know, excuse me for talking about this, but in autopsies, I was invited to go to an autopsy once, but I declined. But they can open your skull, they can lift out your brain, put it on a set of scales and weigh it, and they can dissect it and cut it up and all the rest of it. But they can't touch your mind. Because I tell you from the Scripture, and I don't care what some doctor says or professor, and they maybe laugh at what I'm saying, but I'm saying what the Bible says, your mind belongs to your spirit and soul. Do you think, you read the book of Revelation, do you think when Christians die and the body dies and the brain dies and the whole lot is buried in the earth, do you think that the people in heaven are mindless? No, they're not. They're singing words unto God. They're praising God. They're praising God with words up in the glory. In other words, your mind goes with you. When we fly away, your mind goes with you. But look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, just to get these few scriptures about our mind, what the Bible says about our mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and look at verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, everything that belongs to the physical and the temporal, though it perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Day by day. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and the verse 23. Well, we'll read verse 22 just for the connection, but Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And notice the words, the spirit of your mind. Nobody is going to tell me that even though a dear Christian can be in that condition with this disease of the brain, that God cannot still be communicating with them in their mind. Look at Romans 12, the last scripture on this, Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and look at verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This transforming power of God's grace, which is active in the renewing of our mind. I'm told, and we're being told, that this is something that's on the increase. They don't know what's causing it. They have certain views on that. But I just want to say this morning in this meeting that a Christian, no matter what happens to them, no matter even if they're brought into this particular situation in life, elderly or otherwise, even like our dear brother Ed, who was in that place and in that bed for those years, but God has not forsaken them. And although we can't understand it, and although we can't fully appreciate it, I tell you, God is still their God. God can be speaking. God can be blessing. God can be communing with them. Well, through the brain, disease of the brain, they're not communicating with us. That does not mean, and never could mean, that they can't commune with God or God with them. You know, in this 23rd Psalm, so well known, you remember the words of the 23rd Psalm? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. But you ever think of verse 6 in this context? The psalmist said in the shepherd's psalm, verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We may not understand it, but the promise of God is that even a Christian is brought into some kind of terrible situation as regards their health, the Bible's clear that goodness and mercy follows them all the days of their life until that very moment they go to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. The psalmist said in Psalm 55 and verse 22, cast thy burden. And what struck me about that verse was in the margin of my Bible, the Hebrew can be translated, cast what he hath assigned thee. I don't know what God has assigned me in the future. But God is sovereign and God is in control. And the Bible says here, cast thy burden, cast what he hath assigned thee upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Well, we could go on quoting verse after verse, but be assured of this, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. This thing that's abroad today and has come into many Christian families and many churches, and people who have been so active can be laid so low, and we wonder about it, but be assured of this. Whatever is happening there, it cannot separate them from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. But what encourages me this morning is this. If it happens to me, it will not separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So keep praying. Ask God concerning these dear believers. Ask God to bless them, to speak to them, to commune with them. And the Lord can hear and answer even that prayer. May the Lord bless these few thoughts to our hearts today. Maybe a practical issue, but it's something, thank God, the Bible has something to tell us, and we can be encouraged and instructed in this matter.